find John chapter 1. It's talking about John the Baptist. And he sees Jesus, and this is what he says. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this is a power-packed verse, and we're going to dig into this today, try to bring it to life. But if you're taking notes, there's three parts. You could write down the sin of the world. You could write down, number two, the Lamb of God. And number three, we must behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the sin of the world. That's point number three. So number one, the sin of the world. John pinpoints the main problem with the world. He doesn't say it's poverty. He doesn't say it's disease. He doesn't say it's the weather. Doesn't say it's greed. He doesn't even say it's death. The root cause of all man's ills is sin. Now, sin originated with man. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 12. Romans is just an amazing book. You need to spend some time there. But sin originated in the garden with Adam, and Romans 5:12 kind of puts it together in one verse. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." And so at the garden, that's why the garden story is so important, there was a transfer of authority. Man gave up his godly nature and received Satan's nature. There was a transfer that took place, a sin nature. That's why in the Bible it says that, you know, he's talking about don't eat from the fruit, and that day that you eat of it, you'll surely die. Well, he didn't die physically. He died on the inside when they sinned. And so it doesn't really, could have been any one of us. It doesn't have to be Adam. We all would have done it. Eventually, you know, we kind of look down on him, but we all would have. And so, as we're born in Adam, we're born with a sin nature. And Ephesians chapter 2 describes this sin nature that we received from Adam. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." You used to live in sin. And what sin is missing the mark. It's missing God's mark, living outside of God's standard. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way before we met Jesus. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. And so that sin, you can't go into God's presence in sin. And so there's consequences of the sin. There's a punishment for this sin. And that's found in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Everybody say death. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this word death, it refers to eternal separation from God. And what's another word for eternal separation from God? Hell. That's what hell is. It's a real place. The Bible talks about when we die, and this life is the Bible says it's a vapor. Seems long, doesn't it? But it's a vapor. 80, 100 years. And eternity is forever. But when we die, our body is laid to rest. And the real you on the inside that we can't see goes to one of two places. The scripture talks about heaven or hell. There's not a third option. It's heaven or hell. And so that's what this, the wages of our sin should be. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned by our very birth in Adam. But there's another part to this word death, if you do a little study on it, and it's the word misery. So for eternity, it's separation from God, but here on earth, it's misery. This word means distress or discomfort of mind and body. You know anybody like that? Distress or discomfort of mind and body. So this death, the wages of sin is death. It ultimately leads to eternal separation from God, hell, or misery for our stay here on earth. Sin has a weight. Sin has a weight to it. You can give it a name: blame, shame, guilt, agony, fear, feelings of inferiority, and a feeling of God being a million miles away. Right, that's how I used to feel as a young person, even in church. I just felt like God was just so far away. He was so far away from me and my problems and my life, and I really felt like he didn't care. Based on everything that was happening, it's just like, you know, where is he? Sin has a weight. Now, let me ask you to say this. If God dismissed Adam and Eve from paradise for one sin, what chance do you have with your many sins of making heaven? I'm laughing. I should be crying. What chance do you have with your many sins of making heaven for your eternal home? I had this T-shirt. I think someone gave it to me. And it had this, you know, a cross in it, and it had four quadrants, and in each quadrant was a letter. It was FCWC. And so that was on the front. And then it's supposed to be, people look at that and they're going to ask you, well, what does that mean? Well, you turn around. This is really bad. On the back it says, fat chance without Christ. Those are really your odds of making heaven your home. Fat chance without Christ. Now, I never wore the shirt. I just kind of felt it was a little condemning. But I think about it. So this is really depressing. The sin of the world. And you can see, and it's no excuse for anybody's behavior and what they do, but hurting people hurt others. They can't help it. It's their nature to do so. And that sin causes them to act and behave in a way. And I don't think they're happy about it. I don't think they like it. But it's who they are. It's what they've been given from Adam. And if you can look in the world, there is a whole lot of sin, a whole lot of misery. And I hate to say it, there's a whole lot of people dying without Christ. And they, you know, they're not, you know, on the beach. They're not enjoying sunsets and, you know, in the mountains or some beautiful place. Today, I just came outside in blue skies and just beautiful. You know, that's not what hell's like. You can do a little study on that in the scriptures. Unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people in the world dying. There's a whole lot of people, they've never even heard the name of Jesus. There's a whole lot of people in the Augusta area. In our neighborhood, going to hell, and that is forever. You think about the misery here on earth. Read a little bit about what hell's like. Talk about misery. So let's move on, because this is hard. But let's move on to the Lamb of God part, point two. The Lamb of God. Everybody say Lamb of God. Now the Jews who were listening to John would have had lots of thoughts concerning lambs. Let me just give you a few pointers here. Genesis 4, Jewish tradition says that Abel offered a lamb as a sacrifice for atonement. Genesis 22, Isaac asks his father Abraham, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham says, "My son, God himself will provide a lamb for our burnt offering." Exodus 12, God said to Moses, "Take a lamb, slay that lamb, apply the blood to the doorpost of your house, and when the death angel comes to Egypt, he will pass over the houses that have the lamb's blood on their doorposts." So when they're hearing John, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," I mean, they have some understanding of this. But then there's the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, a prophet, sees into the future, and Isaiah has a lot in his writings about the Messiah, a whole lot about Jesus. I want to read part of that to you. Some scholars call Isaiah the fifth gospel. Isaiah 53. This talks about the Lamb. Verse 3. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him," on Jesus, "the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth." In Leviticus, the high priest will place his hands on the scapegoat and confess the sins of the entire nation. The goat receives the sins and now becomes responsible for it. The goat was then driven away into a desolate place far away from the people. And this scapegoat is a picture of Jesus carrying away the sin of mankind. Now the writer in Hebrews brings it all home. Because in the Old Testament, they had to do a yearly offering for sin. It's a whole procedure, a whole ritual. But Jesus changed everything. Instead of needing multiple lambs, multiple animals, we just needed one lamb. One lamb that would make a permanent offering. An eternal offering, an eternal sacrifice. Look what Hebrews 10, verse 11 says. "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." Can never take it away. And I use this analogy all the time for you who have been here. It's like that weed in the out in the yard. You go by and pluck off the top of the weed and come back the next day and it's growing again. Why is that? Because there's a root. We had an evil fig plant growing on the side of our house. We planted it, and it would grow up the side of the house, and it was pretty at first, but then it started getting ugly. It started getting into the wood and tearing things up, and I hated that fig. What do they call it? Fig? Whatever it is. Evil fig. Creeping. It's a creep. Creeping fig. And we would cut it at the base, and it would come back, and it would get bigger. And I walk by it every day. Ruin my day. Creeping fig. But just the other day, I got in there. I was so mad. I said, this is it. I got in there, and I got into the roots. Down underneath the surface, there was this big, gnarly roots. I mean, they were huge for this little thin vine. I had to get in there and get the root in order to kill the fig. It can never take away the fig. It's another word for sin, creeping fig. That's it. That's in the, you know, deeper in the Greek. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till all his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and their minds, I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. And that's the difference in the old covenant was atonement. Atonement means to cover. I mean, I can cover a table, and I may not see it, but it's still there. It's covered. So with atonement, you don't deal with the root cause of sin. But remission means to take away, to remove. Like that scapegoat, take him out into the wilderness, remove. Now, where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. You all remember my story about going to Nigeria. It had, I don't know how many days it was, 10 days or something, and it was an amazing trip. But it came to the end of the trip, and through a set of circumstances, I missed my plane. And very discouraged. In fact, I called Susie. She was in the middle of the class. I said, you're going to have to pray for me. I'm in the Nigerian airport. And my friend that just flew off before me had all the contact information. And I'm in Lagos, Nigeria, which is not a very safe place. My first, when I first arrived waiting for the car to come get me in Lagos, I saw three fights right in front of me. One was just a policeman just beating a guy with a stick. And I was like, welcome to Nigeria. This is at the airport. I'm not even into the country. I'm already on edge. All the reports from the government about all the things happening, and I'm already just like a little, you know. So I go through all this thing. I mean, we're driving around with security and armed guards, and every building's just got barbed wire around it. I was talking to some people. I mean, they won't even leave like concrete blocks out or anything out because people will take it. And so I come to the end, and I miss my plane, and I'm just like, oh, I am so discouraged. And then so I go to, you know, say, what do I need? I need to go get my bags. I got to try to get back to the hotel I came from. I'm just going to be a miracle here to get me out of this situation. And then, so they tell me where I need to go, and I go, and it's, they didn't call it a dungeon, but it was basically in the pit of the airport there in Lagos. It's in the pit. And to get down to the pit, you go down flights after, I mean, I don't know, it's way to flight after flight of stairs going down. And there's all these different groups of people, kind of shady characters, all kind of in my mind, because I'm just like on edge. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't real, but it's just like. And so I go down to get my bags and to take me back into this room. And sure enough, there's my bags there. And I've got two bags just like this. And, you know, the people laugh at Americans. We just like pack everything. I mean, I've got, you know, gold bars. I've got, I don't know, everything possible in my two bags for 10 days. And they're both at the limit. They're probably about 49.5 pounds, you know, each one of them. Because you never know what you might need, right? You got to be ready, you know, for anything. And so I, you know, and I am, by this point, it's midnight, and I am just from the whole trip, I am just spent. I am exhausted. I am afraid. I mean, all gamut of emotions possible. And so they, I get down there, and then I walk up, and then I come to the steps, and I look up those steps, and I'm going like, I didn't say this, but I thought, I said, there's no way in hell I'm getting up these stairs. You can only say that at Good News Church. I know my, I know you. There's no way I'm going up those stairs. And I'm just trying to brace myself. I mean, why did I bring all this luggage? Well, I don't even need all this stuff. And just as I'm about to go up the stairs, this guy comes up to me. He touches me. I'm like, ah! I've been trained. And he says, in perfect English, hi, I'm Peter. I work for the airport. And can I carry those bags for you? And I'm like, you know, then finally I'm getting all strong now. Like, no, I can get my bags. I don't need your help. I mean, I, you know, I can get these bags. I don't want to get them, but I will get them. And he says, no, you don't understand. This is what they pay me to do. And he's a little guy. And he just grabs both bags and just starts marching up the stairs. Carries them all the way to the top. I'm telling you, man, I'm thinking, my trip is turning around here. Turning it around. I just had a breakthrough. And it's so funny because Peter, he's wearing a red shirt. That's interesting. I just thought about that. He's wearing a red shirt. His name is Peter. Just friendly and nice. I mean, what did he do? I mean, he took my bags. Now, he didn't take them away forever. I may have wanted him to do that, but I mean, he took them. And so I was just thinking about that story, and then I've been thinking about Jesus. And let's just say that this suitcase represents our sin nature. This is our tendency. This is who we are because of Adam. And, you know, this is not heavy. I mean, I can haul this thing around. You know, I can do things with it. This is not too bad. Pretty light. I think it's 8 pounds. But what would happen if I started adding some things? Because if you have a sin nature, what's going to happen? You're going to sin. And so I started looking in Galatians and it listed the different sins. And so I'm just going to start adding some of these sins to the bag. Sexual immorality. This is right from the Bible, from Galatians 5. This is, and it says the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure. Put that on a 2-pounder. Just drop that in there. Next one, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Let's put that on a 2-pounder. Drop that in the bag. What's happening to the bag? Corey, you work with a lot heavier weights than this. Quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. 2-pounder. Yeah. It's getting a little heavier. Selfish ambition, dissension, division. 5-pounder. If I wasn't in shape, I couldn't even lift this. No. 5-pounder. This is New Living, and this is the last one. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties. That's kind of a wild-looking barbell there, too. Wild party. What's going on in these wild parties? Add that in there. No, that's supposed to go in there, too. All right, so now I got my bag. It's a little heavier. I'm not kind of swinging it around like I was. But I can, you know, I can handle this. I got this. I'm in pretty good shape. I can get this. So I just, you know, in my life, I got it. I can handle this. Yeah. What's my pulse rate? Yeah, it's getting a little heavier. Breathing a little heavier. Where's my heart rate? 120. 120. Woo! Starting to sweat a little bit. See, there's a weight to sin. Guilt and shame and agony and fear and inferiority and agony and all the different things. These are people who are carrying around. That's why they look so distressed. And they're carrying around, but you know, eventually, man, I don't know if I can just carry it like this anymore. I'm gonna have to. My armpit's sweating here. Okay, good. It's okay. Okay. But now I'm gonna have to start carrying this thing around. And so, I've got my sin nature. My sin nature now, man, it's causing sin. It's calling all the different things. Man, I've just been having wild party after wild party. And man, it's getting heavy. And then after the weight of that, I mean, initially it's fun, man. It seems easy. It's like me going down the stairs to the pit in Nigeria. I mean, that was easy going down the stairs. But now I'm coming back up the stairs. And man, it's every step, it's just getting heavier. Whew, I don't know my heart rate. I'm sure it's past 120 now. And you just start carrying it, and you're carrying. This is what people are doing, man. They're carrying that sin load, and they're carrying it. It's getting heavier. Make sure my pants are fixed here. And I got to move along here. They're carrying it, carrying it. Man, it is. And finally, the weight. Oh, getting heavy. My life is getting heavy. Is this your life? Your life's getting heavy. Oh, man. I don't know if I can make it. Now I'm breathing pretty heavy now. and the load of sin and the weight of it. But thank God in my life, I had, when I was at St. Cloud State, I had five people witness to me, talk to me about Jesus, talk to me about the Lamb of God, talk about the sacrifice he paid, and said, man, you don't have to carry those sins anymore. Call on Jesus. And I just didn't understand what they were saying. And finally, my brother invited me to this meeting, and I was there, and I was like, the guy started preaching, talking about Jesus and how good he was, and he paid the price for my sin, and give your life to him, and he'll take it and make something out of it, and talking about the abundant life in Christ, and talking about heaven and eternal life, and, you know, that's his plan for my life, and all these different things. And man, hope started rising up, and faith started rising up as he ministered. And finally he said, come down to the front, and I want to pray with you. And I went down and, you know, just prayed a really simple prayer. But you know, Romans talks about calling upon the name of the Lord. And then I started calling upon Jesus. Jesus! Corey! Jesus! Corey! Corey! Jesus! Corey! Help! Can you finish the sermon for me?
No, you got it.
Hey, do me a favor. Take this and put it in my office.
Yes, sir.
Take it away. That'll change your image of Jesus right there. But you know, that's the only thing that happened. Then it says he gave us his righteousness. And then Galatians says, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And now we've been given the nature of Jesus. We've been given his righteousness. Put that pack on. And that's who I am. I mean, I always live that way. But what does he say? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems out here, but there is. Give Corey a hand. You can come back. Oh, are you breathing hard? I mean, this is nice. After having that on my back, I am free to run. I am free to dance. I am free to live for him. I am free. Psalm 103 says, 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Last point. We've got to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We've got to behold him. This word behold means look, focus, stop what you're doing, and give attention. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 12, and that's what I did with it that day I got free, as acting on John 1. Verse 12, but as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, rely on his name. And really, what I was doing with Corey, calling Corey's name, that's what it says in Romans 10, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. We make it a big complicated prayer. I mean, confessing Jesus the Lord, believing, I mean, I know there's parts to it, but it's just really calling on Jesus. Come save me. Come heal me. Come set me free. Come take this. I mean, you can either carry the sin or let him carry it. He was made to carry it. And you see what it looks like. I mean, really, we can kind of laugh, and it's funny, Pastor Matt, under a suitcase, because that's where you want me sometimes. But, I mean, that's the reality, the weight of the world. And the weight is so much for some people, they don't even want to live anymore. And they do everything they can do to cover up the pain and the hurt. Romans 5:17 says this, "For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive," see, it's a receiving by faith, "God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness." Man, that's a whole nother sermon. If you want to grow in God and live free from sin, I'm not saying never make mistakes, but start reading about righteousness and studying that. "Those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them in their right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Now, many here today have made Jesus the Lord of their lives, but you've got to keep on beholding him. That is really the key for the Christian walk. And here's some great verses. I've been meditating on these verses this week, but here's some great verses in Hebrews 12. "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus." See, you have to keep beholding. You have to stop and give him your attention. Give him your gaze. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fellowship. But even as you go about your day, keep your eyes on him. "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Study his life, his death, his resurrection, and others that follow him. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, and you'll be tested, you will be tested if you want to be a follower of Christ. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls." Hallelujah. Every head bowed here today, every eye closed. I want to give you an opportunity to receive this Jesus. I mean, I look around and know a lot of people here, but I don't want to assume anything here today. If you're here and you want to receive him, if you're here and you want to get rid of the luggage, the baggage of sin and its effects, if you want to receive that free gift of eternal life, that free gift of righteousness, it's as easy as just calling on his name. I'll help you do it. If that's you, and you want to just pray with me a simple prayer, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I see one hand there. Who else? Anyone else? Another hand over here. Another hand over here. Praise God. Who else? Another hand over here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand, everybody. I don't think I'm going to call you up front. I would do that. But I do want to pray with you. And if you want to talk to me or different leadership here, if you need a Bible, we'll have that for you. But let's all just pray this prayer. It's just a simple prayer. Let's all pray together, and I'll lead, and you just respond. But just say, Jesus, I call upon Jesus. You are the Lamb. You take away the sin of the world. You take away my sin. Take away my sin right now. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Save me. Give me your righteousness. Give me eternal life. Heaven is my home. And now show me your plan. Your awesome plan for my life. In Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer sincerely. There's been a change. The very nature on the inside of you has been changed from that nature of Adam, of sin, to the nature of Jesus. And it'll start impacting your life. Encourage you to find a good church. But if you need help growing in your faith and growing what you just prayed about, we'll help. A lot of people here will help. Praise God. One last part for today. The word lamb is found 117 times in the Bible. 82 times in the Old Testament. 6 times in the Gospel of Paul's writing. But it's interesting, 29 times in the book of Revelation. There's a lot in Revelation about the Lamb. It talks about the apostles of the Lamb. It talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Our names written in the Lamb's book of life. It says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And as you look at, do a little more study, many times they'll refer to Jesus as the Lamb. They'll say God and the Lamb. So I want to read this as we close the day. I want to read this from Revelation 5. So, the whole concept, I mean, he's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. He's the one who paid the price for our sin. He's the one that reconciled us to God. Remove that wrath. Remove that punishment. Bore our sins on his body. Stripes were laid on his back for our healing. Went into hell and defeated the devil. Gave us the keys. Revelation 5, verse 8. When he took the scroll, the four living beings and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I will look again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down worshipped the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Behold him. I want us just to say this together, and let's just say it from the heart today. Just you say this after me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.